So it's the day of Pentecost. It's the day that we sometimes call the birthday of the church, the day that we celebrate that the Holy Spirit showed up as Jesus promised and sparked the movement that Jesus came into this world to make happen. So as we gather together, I want to invite all of you to take a trip with me. I invite you to think back to a moment in your life, any moment, when you asked yourself a question. And it's a question that I am certain that every one of us has probably asked many times over the course of our lives. Think back with me to a time, maybe it was years ago, maybe it was this morning. But think back to a time that you have observed somebody's actions and asked yourself the question, what has gotten into them? I mean, feel free to fill in the name or the appropriate pronouns for your story. What has gotten into them? What has gotten into her? What has gotten into him? And it's a question that we ask when somebody catches us off guard, when somebody surprises us, or somebody confuses us, or quite frankly, somebody ticks us off. It's a question that I know I'm not the only person who has asked. I mean, do I get an amen from any of the parents in the room? I mean, any of you that have been married or in a relationship for more than a day? Amen? I mean, what has gotten into them? Is this question that we ask when someone does something that isn't what we saw coming? And for me, when I think of this question, I think about this single mother who asked this question many, many times. And she asked it the time when her 10-year-old son thought that it would be the funniest thing in the world to take guinea pig turds and put them in his sister's chocolate milk. It was the question, and she said, what has gotten into you? Or when she was at work and the middle school principal called and said, you know, your son just got kicked off of the school bus for a week because he thought that it would be a brilliant idea to get a group of boys to moon another school bus in rush hour traffic. And she turned to her coworker and said, what has gotten into him? Or when he came home from college and he walked in the door with his mullet and his home perm so that he could look like a member of his favorite hair metal band, she said to herself, what has gotten into him? Or then he glibly announced that he dropped his degree, his major in mechanical engineering, and now he was going to study sociology. She said, what's gotten into him? And you know, at some point years later, when I was in seminary, I think, my mom finally looked at me and said, you know, I think I finally see what it was that got into you back then. You know, but of course, the same thing applies to any of us at any age in our lives. It's not just as we watch growing children suddenly venture off into new places, whether they be places of mischief or adventure or places of deciding to show the grown-ups who's in charge. I mean, we see it in all chapters of our lives, this point when we look and say, I wonder what's gotten into him. He got so angry all of a sudden. Or we say, I wonder what's gotten into her. She's usually so much more reserved than that. Or I wonder what's gotten into them. I miss their smile. Every day of our lives as human beings, people step out of the expectations that we have for them. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes they disappoint us. And sometimes they quite simply amaze us and take our breath away. People surprise us in such ways that we practically assume that there's some external influence acting upon them. that something has gotten into them? That question, at its heart, is the question of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended like wind and fire, and the disciples, they began speaking about God's deeds of power. And as they spoke, not in their own language, but in the languages of all the peoples that were there in Jerusalem, the crowds were amazed and they were surprised. And in the second chapter of Acts, we read that all were amazed and perplexed, and they were saying to one another, "What does this mean?" And the others sneered and said, "Well, they're filled with new wine." The disciples did something that nobody saw coming. And the crowds, amazed and perplexed, said, "What has gotten into them?" Now, some of them are suggesting they got an early start on the new wine, as though they were yelling across the courtyard in Jerusalem, "Go home, Galileans, you're drunk." But then you got to love Peter. He stands up, raises his voice over the crowd and says, "Now, these aren't drunk as you suppose." And then he gives the reason, you know, "It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And I love in the message, I wrote down the Message translation here says, Peter stood up and said, "They haven't had time to get drunk." God's Holy Spirit is something that gets into people. It's an outside force that acts upon you. It's Newton's first law of motion. An object at rest will stay at rest until an outside force propels it into motion. Or an object that's in motion will stay on that course of motion until an outside force acts upon it and moves it in another way. A good indicator of God's Holy Spirit at work is when somebody somewhere asks themselves the question, this Pentecostal question, what has gotten into them? What has gotten into those disciples? What has gotten into these followers of Jesus? What's gotten into these people worshiping God together at St. Luke? I mean, when I hear about a capital campaign that's rolling along so effectively, not just to pay bills, but to create opportunity to do new ministry. When I look at the ideas that are gathered on that wall out there, around these priorities of meeting the challenges of today's world, of building relationships with God and one another, of supporting every person's faith journey, I can't help but ask the question, what has gotten into you, St. Luke? When teenagers volunteered this week at the Silver Springs anniversary party, and then when they finished helping out, they took it upon themselves to sit down and have dinner with the kids that live at Silver Springs, because the kids saw them across the tent and knew them and called them friends and wanted to be with them, I looked and said, what has gotten into you? When I watch our volunteers go to Appalachia, not just to improve homes, but to share their very selves, their time, their energy, who they are with the people that God's called them to serve for a week, again and again, I think, what has gotten into you, St. Luke? I mean, when our music ministry, when our choirs and our instrumentalists and our soloists and our bands and our students from Two Copper Coins lead us together into the joyful heights and also the solemn depths of what it means to worship this God that we see in Jesus, I think week after week, what has gotten into you, St. Luke? And I'm not the only one that has seen it. I'm not the only one asking the question. I mean, when people come to me and say that St. Luke's Vacation Bible School is their child's favorite week of the summer, or when someone bumps into me in town and says, "Isn't that the church that packaged 250,000 meals?" Or when someone looks at me and says, "You know, we saw your sign, and we hear from our Jewish neighbors, and we hear from our Muslim neighbors, and we hear from our other fellow Christian neighbors, and they say, thank you for speaking words that build bridges instead of barriers. I think I know what's gotten into us. The Holy Spirit has gotten into us. When I received direct communication from both Harrisburg and Washington, D.C., saying, you know, we're listening when you call us and write us letters, St. Luke, because you're consistently rising above the division that we see every day. And you're telling us that we're supposed to get something done to feed the hungry, to help the poor, to provide dignity and opportunity to every person. I think, well, I know there's still a lot to do in that area, but I know what's gotten into us at St. Luke. When a college student who identifies as queer takes me aside and says that they hope that maybe someday they'll experience in their own family what they've already experienced with just a little bit of time at St. Luke, I know what's gotten into us. Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit getting into you. It's about God calling and equipping you. Now notice the order there. Called and equipped. Because God doesn't call us when we're already qualified. God qualifies us after we've been called. Following the Holy Spirit isn't about knowing exactly what to do. It's about being willing and being available to take a leap of faith. So are you ready to take the leap? Are you ready to let the Holy Spirit lead you? Pray about it. How is God's Holy Spirit leading you? How is God's Holy Spirit leading St. Luke? I mean, what if we made it our mission to make people wonder what's gotten into us? What if everything we did caused somebody somewhere to ask that question? What has gotten into them? And what if the answer to that question was undeniable? What if the answer was the power of Pentecost? What if the answer was God's Holy Spirit? What if the answer is the good news of the gospel? Let's find out, amen?
Amen.
Amen.